Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, February 28th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Addio A Jr. Joining me is the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Everybody's still in the womb, festering. Is that the right verb? Maybe not. In the womb right now, Blessing.
Festering?
Oh, it's kind of crying, kicking in the womb. Tomorrow, the rebirth will begin.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Jesus will rise
again. Oh, I see it. Oh, man. It's nice to be out here.
Yeah. Baby walks out. I've been festering in there for too long.
It's stuffy in there. Good Lord. Get me out of here, man. I'm happy to be reborn.
Good morning.
That was quite the intro. Yeah.
Rebirth just implies that you've been born before.
Yeah, on the third day again, you rose.
So you go back to heaven. You're like, I need a fucking extra 3 days of sleep.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm out now. I've been festering in there for the last 3 days. Again, it's stuffy.
Smell like shit.
Yeah, no, you're not supposed to go back. It sucks in there. Andy, how's your Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday? How's your Wednesday going?
Wednesday's going great so far. I was just reflecting. I called my parents on the drive-in and proceeded to get no service on the way.
Mm.
I'm like, are they ignoring me? Did they change their phone number? I hope not, because they're on my Google Fi plan.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I hope they're okay wherever they're at, you know?
Fair enough.
I like to use my mornings to catch up with the fam.
Yeah.
Catch up with the relatives.
Oh, yeah.
And it's usually just me and my dad being like, have you seen this show yet? What's this new show you're watching?
Mm-hmm.
Last night, Shogun.
Mm.
Is all the hot talk.
Is that a new anime?
Shogun is a new FX original. It's like one of the Hulu shows.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
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 And apparently it's like first episode debuted, instant hit. This is like one of the best shows that we've seen in terms of like just transporting you to an era.
Yeah.
Since Game of Thrones. Like, because I know that like historically going back to the Game of Thrones times, you know, when all the dragons were around,
mm-hmm.
it's cool to get a glimpse to see like, This is what it was like to live with dragons back in the day, you know?
That's super sick. Fuck, I might add that to the list.
This is a samurai life.
What are you watching it on? Like, do I have to have cable
Hulu.
For this one? Hulu. Oh, perfect. I still have Hulu. I didn't cancel Netflix. I got kicked off of using my mom's Netflix.
Oh.
I finally got the notification of like, hey, this isn't your home.
Oh.
It's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, there's like two
options.
Yeah, there's like an option that's like, I'm traveling.
I'm in between jobs right now.
Yeah, and I hit I'm traveling. And it's like, all right, put in your password. I'm like, fuck. I'm not putting this password in years. And so I just gave up. I'm not going to text my mom and be like, yo, pay more to get me on there.
Well, speaking of calling my parents, like on a lot of my morning drives in, usually the only texts that get exchanged is a photo of Netflix.com/activate, type in the key, and it's my dad sending me just a picture of the TV because it logged him out, or Hulu logged him out, or Disney Plus logged him out. And I got to the point where I was like, hey, mom and dad, I'm going to, like, first off, I'm dropping Apple TV. We finished freaking Severance. And my mom was like, wait, but I'm still watching the morning show. I was like, okay, I'll drop it once you're done with that show. And also Hulu, I got to go to ads. It's $18 ad-free.
Dude, I'm on somebody's Hulu. I'm just waiting for them to kick me off. Because, like, they definitely added me a while ago. And, like, I'm like, I don't belong there anymore.
Joey's
like,
mom?
Joe's mom?
Joey's mom.
Oh, Joey's mom. No, I'm not on Joey's mom.
Nick loves being on Joey's mom's account.
Oh, I was going to say, is that a thing? Just everybody's on Joey's mom?
Yeah.
No, this is it's like an Addison situation where I'm like, we're not close enough anymore for me to be on your Hulu. But I'm still on here, so I'm just riding
out. You can't hit him up and be like, hey, the password, like, you're not like
yeah,
that
no, as soon as I get logged out, it's done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not watching Hulu
Turn
anymore.
Turn back.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, fuck, well, I'm just not watching any of my shows. And then all I have left is Disney Plus at the point, which now I am the friend that is paying for the Disney Plus that, well, actually, no, I don't have Disney Plus. I stopped paying for Disney Plus. They raised their prices.
You didn't watch the Kojima documentary?
No. They raised their, well,
it's okay. Turns out,
that's also on Hulu.
Yeah, turns out it's on Hulu.
Oh, that's right. That is right. Because I went to Disney Plus looking for it. And it wasn't there. And I was like, why isn't it popping up in the search? I kept seeing the Disney Plus logo everywhere.
In November, Disney Plus went up like $40 or something a year. And I was like, no. I'm not doing this. So yeah, I'm about to be net zero in terms of subscription services.
I gotta stick with Disney Plus just because I'm too much of a Star Wars freak.
Bad batching.
I just signed up back up for Netflix because we wanted to check out Avatar. Then we watched the first episode of Avatar. We're not going to be watching the rest of Avatar. And there's a couple shows that Alyssa wants to catch up on because we haven't had Netflix in a while. But they also just announced that Netflix is raising their prices again.
When, ridiculous.
Like, I already was like, when I re-signed up for Netflix, I was like, fuck, man, $22 a month. This is crazy.
That was like three price increases ago.
Yeah,
now you're
dude.
Like, dude, what?
And so, like, and that's why, like, Netflix is usually the first to go, because there's a lot of comfort food that we find on Hulu, and I'm willing to pay for, like, the ad-free stuff, but...
You know what I just subscribed to, though? Dropout TV.
Mm.
That's the, like, what used to be College Humor, they evolved into...
Oh,
like,
right.
Yeah, like, it is, like, Actually and Game Changers and all that stuff. Like, a lot of our friends end up on there. Like, I watched an episode of Actually featuring Sage Ryan.
When are you going,
like,
to be on
there? Oh, Sage Ryan, this thing. When am I going to be on there? Whenever they want me on there. That's, like... It's that thing. There was a few weeks ago where we were talking about, it was like me and Tim, we were talking about, like, I think it was fighting games or something, and Maximilian Dude came up, and we were like, oh man, Maximilian Dude come through, and Tim Geddes was like, oh, Maximilian Dude is too good for us. And I was like, I don't know, man. I think we can get Maximilian Dude. Dropout is too good for me. Where I'm like watching it, I'm like, y'all are some fucking experts here. Like, this is improv. Like, y'all are bringing, I feel like you would actually kill on Dropout, because you're good at, like, on
is
your
it trivia?
Shit. I mean, some of it is trivia, some of it is just pure improv games. Like, even Game Changers is half improv, half trivia, where they're asking you to do, like, funny shit, right?
Oh,
and, like, you'll get
okay.
points for doing the funny shit. And so, gotcha. Like, if you can think quick on your feet, then you would actually fit in there. I think the one show that I could be good on would be Actually, because that is, it's basically like the You're Wrong game that we've done for Game Showdown, but it's, like, in real time, and it's just nerdy shit in general. So they'll, like, be talking about facts about Game of Thrones or something, and then as soon as you hear something that's false, you'll buzz in and be like, Actually, and then you'll correct, like, whatever
I
the thing
see.
Is. And it's very fun. And, like, that one is hosted now by Iffy, the homie Iffy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like, he's the new host on it. And so I'm like, dang, if I can get on any Dropout show, it would be that one. I think that'd
that's,
be such
that's
a fun
That's way
time.
Too much of a possibility. That yeah. seems way too
I would love
possible.
To. It would change my life. I'll be like...
Yeah, I mean, if they need someone who does, like, you know, Michael Caine impressions or Severus Snape.
Let's get Andy on Game Changers, and let's get me on Actually. I feel like that'd be a hit.
It's me, Jason Statham.
There you go. Don't you want that? They do have a show, though, called...
Don't you want that?
Don't you want that? That's perfect for a show. They have a show called Make Some Noise, which is where people just do impressions.
Oh,
they're like, oh,
make a
sound of a bird. Like, make a bird sound right now.
I can... Oh, not necessarily a bird, but dinosaurs kind of descended from birds.
Mm-hmm.
And I could do the kind of dinosaur monster thing that Obi-Wan Kenobi rides in Revenge of the Sith. The big, like, thing that it's like his mount. Like, imagine a video game, you get a mount.
Yeah.
And this is, like, his mount in Revenge of the Sith. So here we go. He goes, one second.
Mm-hmm.
1 second. Can we get the heater down in the room?
You're nailing it, by the way.
That wasn't turned on.
That is it. You would be perfect on this fucking show, because that's exactly how all the answers go. It's like, oh, let me make this nerdier somehow. Like,
gotcha.
Let me take this prompt and let's dumb it down, make it stupid, make it nerdy.
And the Raptors go, cool, cool. And
get
they call each other.
Get us on there. Andy, enough about all that. What is, oh, Barry.
There it is. Dinosaurs descending from birds. Thank you, Barry.
Give it to me one more time.
These are called what? Tauntauns? What are these things called?
Whoa, that's crazy. I feel like I'm watching Revenge of the
Sith. It's
crazy.
Hello
called
there.
Boga, apparently.
Hello there.
Boga? Boga?
Boga these nuts.
Dude, I was trying to figure it out. I was like, there's a deep nut show somewhere. Fuck. You got there before I did. Enough about all that. Let's talk about today's news stories, which include Neil's only got a few big games left in him. Remedy acquires full rights to Control and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, a new Kind of Funny Games cast is up where we talk about what we've been playing. That's over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We talk about Penny's Big Breakaway. Andy talks about Enshrouded and Nightingale. Greg talks more about Helldivers 2. And I just sit there. I just ask questions. It's a fun time. And then tomorrow, February 29th, Kind of Funny and the world celebrate the launch of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
It was stuffy in the womb.
Stuffy in there. Our favorite party members, Mike and Andy, will be starting their journey into Rebirth with a marathon stream celebration. You can tune in tomorrow, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Strinking Ain't Easy, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Avatar Braving the Elements and Game Showdown, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, Last of Us director Neil Druckmann says he doesn't think he has many more big games left in him. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Uncharted 4 and Last of Us creative director Neil Druckmann has said he started thinking seriously about when he might stop making blockbuster games. In an interview with rapper Logic, Naughty Dog's president said he could envision himself transitioning to something more low-key, which enables him to continue being creative in a less stressful environment while also spending more time with his kids. Asked if he sees himself making games forever, Druckmann said that recently he's really enjoyed working on other creative projects like HBO's Last of Us TV show and a Halloween Horror Nights experience at Universal Studios. Quote, I guess that I don't see myself doing this forever at this scale, he said. It's just a lot, and that takes a lot out of you. It's very stressful to manage that many people and multiple studios worldwide. So you're talking about how you're entering this new phase in your life where your kids are your number one, and I'm in a similar place where my kids are my number one. And I know that, especially my daughter's now 13, and I feel like life is pulling her away from me. I know that time is limited, so it's very precious to me, and I don't want to waste it when they do want to spend time with me, and that's number one. Yeah, so I'm just at this point in my life where it's like you start looking at what's the end game here? When is it time to call it? Druckmann said he's a big, in this end quote, Druckmann said he's a big Quentin Tarantino fan, and he's keen to find out if the director sticks to his public comments about making no more than 10 films. He thinks the Pulp Fiction director will, but that he'll end up making TV shows or doing something else creative. Quote, so I can see myself transitioning to something that's like more low-key and lower stressed, that still allows me to have this creative outlet, Druckmann said. Quote, but you know, I've started thinking about how many of these games do I have in me, and it's not that many, end quote. A lot here to dig into. I want to start off with Logic.
What's he doing?
What's going on? And what's funny is that I logged into YouTube yesterday because I don't have Netflix or Hulu anymore.
Okay.
Or Disney Plus, I should say. And I'm on YouTube, right? And I'm scrolling through. And on my homepage, my YouTube algorithm knows that I like Logic. At least, like, you know, his older albums. I'll listen to his newer stuff, too. Not as much. But I saw, like, a channel called Logically Speaking. And I was like, no. I was like, no, we're not doing this. And I click in, and yeah, Logic has basically is doing podcasts. And I'm like, why is everybody entering the podcast market?
Look at this green screen.
And it's a ridiculous green screen. And who do I see? Neil fucking Druckmann is sitting in this fake green screen library with the rapper Logic. And I don't know what we're doing anymore in the content creation space.
Part of me wanted you to be like, no, man, that's a perfect name. Logically Speaking is a...
No, it's the fact that I saw it and I knew exactly... I didn't even need to see the thumbnail.
Yeah.
I just needed to see Logically Speaking and I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I know exactly what this is.
I'm not too...
so much headroom and why did they...
It's so much headroom.
It looks like he's laying back. It's so weird.
It's so much headroom. I got to also assume they have a shot like kind of from the top. It just catches them as they're reclining back. Aside from the logic bomb that you just dropped on us,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this doesn't seem too surprising. I think as soon as Druckmann went towards this sort of TV thing and he started to see another creative outlet for himself,
mm-hmm.
I think that when you talk about the projects that Druckmann has worked on so far, you can almost start to like... when you get in your own head about things, boil it down to, if I make two more, that's 12 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, if I make three more, that could be 18 years to maybe two decades from now. And it obviously these things are gigantic investments, time investments. And that stress, I get it. It's kind of like, what do you necessarily have to prove right now?
Yeah. When you've just put out Last of Us Part 2,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is, like, I think for Druckmann, a thing where you poured yourself into that thing. And, like, you're coming from a space where video games are only getting bigger and bigger and longer to make, right? So you're starting off, let's say you're like working on the Uncharted, right? And it is, all right, yeah, we'll put out three Uncharted and The Last of Us on one console. But then you spend your time working on Uncharted 4, you spend your time working on Last of Us Part 2, and you have these big things to say. And like, I'm sure Neil Druckmann still has more things to say, but I feel like he has said so much already where it is, all right, when I'm thinking about making my, to your point, my next three big games that could take me two more decades, is that what I want to spend my time doing?
Yeah. And yeah, a lot of it just comes down to, I think Neil sort of saw the light with other kind of creative outlets.
Yeah.
And maybe not necessarily feeling like he has to give his life away to these larger AAA, quadruple A, whatever you want to call them, projects, where Naughty Dog is obviously one of the best developers out there in terms of quality and in terms of what you expect from the final package. But I can't imagine how he felt, you know, sort of expressing himself creatively in other ways and being like, oh man, that didn't take 7 years for me to do. Mm-hmm. That didn't take,
oh,
that,
for sure.
That was not this gigantic outlet. I'm not trying to say like he didn't work as hard or whatever, but you know, you got to be able to go to sleep at night and not have those 4 hour, 5 hour nights anymore and be like, oh, I can sort of help out in a lot of other different ways and maybe see, maybe be gratified a little bit quicker. You get that instant gratification a little faster, yeah, as opposed to let me wait 7 or 8 years this big game to come out.
And like what might be even more of a mainstream scale when you're talking about Last of Us and HBO show versus what Last of Us does as like a video game, like obviously both things are huge, but you're making an HBO show that is quicker to make than a Last of Us video game, right? Like you're working on this thing that is going to reach such an audience of people that is different from what just the gaming audience is. The amount of people that I've spoken to or I've heard talk on like podcasts that aren't gamers that know what The Last of Us is because they've gotten to experience it through the show. I think there is something that is enticing about that. And yeah, like I think what fascinates me about this is I look over toward like Kojima. And Kojima is somebody who, for his entire existence, we've been like, oh, he's going to end up making movies. He's going to end up making TV shows or like doing something on that side. And we just got an announcement recently, right, that he is working on, well, we've known he's working on Death Stranding 2, but then you had Pheasant as a thing. That is this interactive video game that's going to make you feel like you're watching a movie type thing. We don't know entirely what it is, but it sounds like still at its core that it is a video game. And he talked about it in an interview that he mentioned the idea of like, wanting like having this dream of making a movie, but I think he said it was Guillermo del Toro that was like, Kojima, what you're doing is making movies.
Yeah.
And like a, you know, like a movie moment type thing of like Guillermo the superior talking to Kojima being like, you are making movies, go do it, man. But like I think it's so interesting to see Kojima continue to like stay the course and stay in video games, and like Neil Druckmann feels like the one that is starting to be like, all right, yeah, like I think I'm gonna start sunsetting the idea of making these larger video games, or maybe making smaller stuff, but then also, yeah, maybe working in different creative mediums. Because I look at what we see with Metal Gear and like all this shit, and I think, and Death Stranding even, and something that I find fascinating is that even though we associate those things with cinematic presentation and movie and like, you know, movie and TV actors and all this shit, they're still like very fascinating video games, right? Like they're still like such like deep gameplay. Like we're making a delivery sim basically with Death Stranding, or like Metal Gear Solid 5 with all of the systematic and like immersive sim type elements you have in that, and like
and so much more thematically as well.
Yeah, like there's so much at work there as a video game. Whereas I look at like a lot of the Naughty Dog stuff, especially like modern like latest Naughty Dog stuff, and like those are movies. Like those are basically like, hey, we are putting in so much time into the cinematics, in the performances, and we are telling a story. And obviously like gameplay is great too, especially depending on who you ask, right? I'm somebody that really, really likes and appreciates the gameplay of The Last of Us games, right? But I could even see the more the case for Neil Druckmann being like, yo, I'm here to tell stories. Like stories almost mean, I could see Neil Druckmann making the case that stories might even mean more to him than even like just the gameplay elements alone. Because that's what they're going hard on. And so I just find it interesting that, yeah, Neil's the one that is, I think, this far into his career, sort of like seeing the opportunity here.
Yeah.
And on top of that, too, I think, and this goes for any creative slash person who is a business person or trying to make money and trying to figure out how to level up your career and all that stuff. I think, to your point of you know,
are they going to be like ZipRecruiter.com?
ZipRecruiter. So throw to an ad. To your point of, oh man, TV shows easier to make, right? Or like, or not easier, but shorter development time. You're getting that gratification. You're reaching a new audience. All this stuff. If I'm Neil, if I'm in those shoes, and we just made a last was TV show, I'm looking at all the other opportunities, and I'm going, oh dude, I can do so much right now. I'm Neil fucking Druckmann. I look around Miyamoto making a theme park, and I'm like, yo, what if I try to do some shit like that? Like, what are some crazy things I can do now that I've built up my name as Neil Druckmann? I still love video games. Maybe I want to make something, but they don't all have to be Last of Us's. I've just made 2 Last of Us's, right? I'm probably going to make a 3rd Last of Us. What's something different I can do to get that creative gratification elsewhere?
Yeah, and you got to assume it's still creatively fulfilling for him to be able to see the end result quicker and, again, not have to give his life away to it. And I think that you're right. He's in those circles now. Like, he had Craig Mazin, the director and writer of Chernobyl, which won so many awards, to be like, oh, The Last of Us is the real deal, HBO. Let's get Pedro Pascal. Let's get all these amazing stars to be in this Last of Us show. And now this show is going to win a bajillion awards across all sorts of different showcases. Now he's in those spaces. And I feel like, yeah, it's kind of like, take your pick. What do you want to go do now? You know, it's interesting that he brought up Quentin Tarantino, because I've always looked at that as like, I've always hated the, I want to work on 10 movies and retire 50. It's like such a weird thing to think about when you're trying to make your legacy. I don't know. Maybe you just want the DVD box set to look cleaner or something like that. But Quentin Tarantino, not a black guy.
Who would have thunk? You read those scripts? Put yourself in my shoes. And you watch Django Unchained. Who else would have directed this?
The writer and director had to have been a black guy, right?
No way this man isn't black, right? Fucking crazy. That guy that's making all these cameos, he's the one? Man, we gotta do something about that. Let's move on to story number 2. Remedy, of course, Bears brought up a picture of Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, quick. One thing I want to bring up real quick before we move on. There was part of me thinking this while we were just with Pheasant on the Mine and whatever Kojima Productions is kind of at work there, working on there with PlayStation and this new, again, crossover medium thing that they're trying to do. When we were in the theater watching Final Fantasy Advent Children, I was like, what? This is like a perfect outlet for Kojima to do something. Like, I get that it would, like, we're essentially watching this movie right now, Advent Children, and we're basically just watching a bunch of cutscenes.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
Advent Children is like the length of one Metal Gear Solid 4 cutscene, basically.
Like, it seems kind of like the perfect way to, again, kind of break into that space, because I think one of my predictions when we were talking about what Pheasant is I think it's going to be either a TV series that then flows into a video game and it's all one sort of singular story experience, or vice versa, like just based on the timelines or whatever. But it just kind of, watching that movie in theater, I was like, oh shit, this could kind of be a no-brainer for, you know, Kojima Productions in the future.
See, I'm curious on the opposite side for Druckmann of, do we start to see Neil Druckmann make shorter video games? Like, I'll love to see what Neil Druckmann can do with 8 hours as opposed to Last of Us 2 being like a 25-hour thing, right? Like, can we, and also does that allow us to get more Naughty Dog stuff? This comes off of a conversation that I was having with Greg earlier, I think yesterday. Yeah, yesterday, on yesterday's show, we were talking about like PlayStation layoffs and all this stuff, and like, what is the answer here? What is the move here? I think the idea of Naughty Dog being able to like still make the big Naughty Dog games, right? Make the next Last of Us, make the next Uncharted, like make those 15-hour things. If you're able to at the same time work on something that is shorter and is like a standalone thing, I would love to see what that would look like. I would love to see Naughty Dog mess around with like more experimental stuff. Like, I know Last of Us 2, wild in its own ways in terms of what it does with narrative, but I would like to see them dig even deeper and go like, you know, I look at Death Stranding as almost like the template of, hey, you have the trust of a parent company that is above you, right? Like, you have the trust of PlayStation and they're willing to shower you with money to make what you want to make. What if you make something weird? What if you make something different? Like, I think Naughty Dog can make something really cool if they're able to veer even more left than they already have in their games.
You made such a great point, though, regarding... I don't think it's fair to necessarily paint Neil Druckmann in the corner of, you are more of the story guy, but that's kind of just what we assume from all of the you usually just see a shitload of interviews of Neil Druckmann talking about his reasons or articles or whatever it is, podcasts of the choices that he was making while thinking of the story for The Last of Us and all these sort of things. And when I think Kojima, I not only think like the weirdness, but interconnecting all that with gameplay. When I think of Miyamoto, it's all about gameplay. And yeah, you're so right. Earlier, you were mentioning Druckmann, like not necessarily feeling like the gameplay guy, like the person who's going to be innovating a whole lot gameplay wise. And I think a lot of that may just be the interviews that we've talked about here on these shows, you know?
Yeah.
Like when I think of Druckmann as like a game developer, sort of the word auteur keeps getting thrown out. But when I think of him in those spaces, a lot of it is just public perception. Like, I don't see him in these rooms being like, no, when that character drops, they need to roll a certain way, and that needs to feel fluid to, like, then reload the gun.
Dude, I would even argue that, like, some of Last of Us 2's, like, big story shifts come at the detriment to, like, some of the gameplay, right? Like, one of the big things, light spoilers to Last of Us 2, but not really, like, this is a thing that everybody knows at this point. You know who Abby is if you've even heard of Last of Us Part 2 at this point, right? Like, that shift to Abby where it is, all right, we're starting from ground zero midway through the game, and like you're gonna have to like level up again and do all this shit. It's like on a gameplay level, it's like, ooh, that's not the best, but on a story level, like that's where it's supposed to hit, right? Like that's they put story above gameplay in that moment, in my opinion. People might disagree and whatever, but yeah, like I think Druckmann is the kind of dude to go, how do we tell the best story possible? And like I think there's more of like a onus there as opposed to like just the gameplay. Now, and again, this is me speaking as somebody who loves Last of Us 2 gameplay. Like,
yeah, it's still wild because the game is still like.
It's like one of the better stealth games, like better combat. Like
it feels so good to play. It is so fluid. Every animation is like contextual and like, yeah, it was like it's so far ahead of the game in a lot of what it does game design wise. But yeah, it's interesting thinking of like where these different game developers sort of fit in what boxes. And I think of Neil as like the story vision person as opposed to the person who's trying to innovate gameplay wise.
Let's move on to story number two. Remedy acquires full rights to the Control franchise from 505 Games. This comes directly from a press release on their website. Today, Remedy and 505 Games announced a transaction upon which all publishing, distribution, marketing, and other rights to Control, Codename Condor, Control 2, and all future Control products will revert to Remedy. The Control franchise is in the core of Remedy. Having acquired the full rights to Control, Condor, and Control 2, Remedy is now in the position to make the right product and business decisions, focusing on long-term franchise growth. The key terms of the transaction are as follows. They start with the termination of agreements. Publishing agreements for Control, Codename Condor, and Control 2 are immediately terminated by mutual agreement. Then move on to reversion of rights. For Control 2 and Codename Condor, all publishing, distribution, marketing, and other right licensed to 505 Games revert to Remedy with immediate effect. 505 Games will continue as the publisher of Control through a transition period ending December 31st, 2024, under the terms of the original Control publishing agreement. In addition, 505 Games continues to administrate existing B2B deals for Control until their agreed expiration dates. After the transition period and the expiry of these B2B deals, 505 Games will have no future royalty or other rights to Control. And then they end here with purchase price and cash flow effect. The maximum purchase price for the transaction is approximately 17 million euros, which equals the amount that 505 Games has paid for the development of Codename Condor and Control 2 to date, including a minor premium. Remedy is entitled to set off certain receivables from the purchase price, and therefore the cash flow effect from the transaction will be clearly less than the purchase price. Remedy will pay the net purchase price in three cash installments during the next 12 months. Congratulations to Remedy.
Very cool.
Getting Control.
Gosh, I can. That's pretty good right there.
Yeah.
My goodness. It's so exciting to envision the future where a Control 2 drops and looks better than Alan Wake 2. I can't even like fathom what a Control 2 could look like. When you start up Control 1 on, you know, a very expensive PC, and it looks like the game came out today because of how just stunning all the tech is and how forward-thinking they were with a lot of it. Kind of reminds me of Cyberpunk in a way, where when Cyberpunk dropped, I remember Digital Foundry being like, this game is, like, so future-proofed. Yeah, it's not running great right now. But it's one of those things where, like, in the future, as they continue to update as NVIDIA keeps, you know, innovating with ray tracing and path tracing and all that stuff, I can't imagine how awesome Control 2 is going to look. And I'm just super excited for what the gameplay elements are going to be and how they improve, you know, flying and just being an air
that's
Jedi.
Gonna be good.
The game's so good.
That's going to be good.
One of the best feeling weapons, I think, in a long time. Just like having that pistol, the visuals of it, whenever it would animate, it's just like,
you know what's crazy?
Such a slick ass game.
That game came out 5 years ago.
It's insane.
That doesn't make sense.
No.
And like by the time this Control 2 comes out, like it would have been probably what? We're talking 7 to 8 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 9 years. I don't know when this thing's coming out. But like it's crazy how when time just moves faster, it feels like, and like video games have just gotten to a place where if we were having this talk in 2010, right? And we're like, oh yeah, Control came out 5 years ago, we'd be talking about like, you know, in 2010, what came out? Like Assassin's Creed 2 or some shit. And 2005, we're talking about GTA San Andreas. Like, that's the gap between those two. And that feels like such a monstrous gap of, like, what that generation is. 5 years ago, I'm like, oh, yeah, we're basically, like, I'm playing games from 5 years ago that still look fucking amazing. But we still have 5 years of innovation that we've come through. And so, yeah, by the time we get to Control 2, that game is going to be sick. Yeah. I hope. Because, yeah, I love Control. And this is awesome just for, I think, a number of reasons. One, putting the IP in the hands of the developers and creators. I think that's always an exciting thing because that gives you more autonomy with what you can do with it. And like, you're not beholden to, oh man, we gotta make a fucking co-op shooter now. Like, I don't know what the plans are still for Project Condor. It sounds
drop
like
in, drop out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it sounds like because they're terminating the, what was the first thing? They're terminating like the publishing agreements for Condor, Control 2, yada, yada, yada. You assume they're still gonna make Condor because I'm sure it's already in the works. But you know, they don't have to answer to a parent. They don't have to answer to like whoever else. They can make that whatever they want to make it, which I think is going to lead to products that are more, I guess, true to what the creators want it to be, right? Or what their vision for greatness is for it, which I think is great. But then also, it's great for the Remedy connected universe. Like, give them the control of that, right? No pun intended.
RCU.
Like, you know, I want to see how Alan Wake can control crossover. I hope they're able to do this with maybe even a Max Payne, even though that feels impossible because of Rockstar, right? But like, if we can get there, if we can get to the future where Remedy controls every single one of their IPs, again, no pun intended, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really fun. You know what else is fun?
What, blessing?
Patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the Kind of Funny Games membership. No, the Kind of Funny membership. When you get the Kind of Funny membership, you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode's brought to you by Avatar Braving the Elements. We know you love talking about all things TV, film, and pop culture with us, so there's another podcast that we think you're going to enjoy. It's called Avatar Braving the Elements, and it's Nickelodeon's official companion podcast to Avatar The Last Airbender. Y'all already know Barrett loves Avatar. He thinks it's one of the best coming-of-age heroes journeys out there that perfectly blends enticing action, great comedy, and social commentary that's all backed by great art style and an iconic soundtrack. Each week, host Janet Varney, the voice of Korra, and Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko, rewatch every episode of The Last Airbender. They're joined by special guests like the cast, superfans, and even the creators of Avatar, Michael DiMartino and Brian Konitzko, for a deep dive and behind-the-scenes look into the Avatarverse you can't get anywhere else. Whether you're a longtime bender or new to the series, jump into the epic world of Avatar with Avatar Braving the Elements. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all need to check out Kinda Funny Game Showdown, our weekly video game trivia game show. You can watch live on YouTube or on Twitch every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. But now, thanks to popular demand, Kinda Funny Game Showdown is available on podcast services. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or anywhere else, please subscribe and rate the show 5 stars. It really helps us get Kinda Funny out there, and we couldn't thank you enough. We aim to make this a video-only show, so many of the games we best enjoyed watching on YouTube. But despite that, enough of you guys asked for audio versions, so we're making that happen anyways. Of course, that also means if you have the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon, you will now also get the audio version of the show ad-free. No matter how you're watching or listening to Kinda Funny Game Showdown, thank you. And if you haven't checked it out yet, there is no better time than now. We're already many episodes into the show, so you can catch up now on YouTube or the brand new podcast version of the show. If you love what we do, please get the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or on YouTube to get the show ad-free. If you just want to support us for free, please subscribe and rate Kinda Funny Game Showdown on your favorite podcast service now. And we're back. With story number 3, Nintendo sues Switch emulator Yuzu.
What's that?
Never heard of him. This is Sean Hollister at The Verge. If you've ever seen a Steam Deck playing a Legend of Zelda game, chances are you are seeing the Yuzu emulator at work. Now, Nintendo has sued the developers of Yuzu in U.S. federal court with the intent of squishing Yuzu for good.
Fuck.
In the lawsuit spotted by Steven Totillo, Nintendo alleges that Yuzu violates the anti-circumvention and anti-trafficking provisions of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, aka DMCA, as well as accusing the creators of copyright infringement. It alleges Yuzu is primarily designed to circumvent several layers of Nintendo Switch encryption so its users can play copyrighted Nintendo games. The company is not only asking for the courts to stop Yuzu in its tracks with a permanent injunction, it also wants to take away its domain names, URLs, chat rooms, and social media presence, hand yuzu-emu.org over to Nintendo, and even seize and destroy its hard drives to help wipe out the emulator. Oh, and Nintendo wants lots of money in damages as well. Aren't emulators legal? Well, yes and no. While there's legal precedent that suggests it's okay to reverse engineer a console and develop an emulator that uses none of the company's source code, those cases are roughly a quarter of a century old or more. It gets trickier when we're talking about multiple layers of modern encryption and the copyrighted BIOSes that Yuzu and other modern emulators require to run. The Dolphin emulator for Nintendo Wii and GameCube, never heard of it, got in enough hot water to abandon its plan to launch on Steam when it was revealed that Dolphin ships with Nintendo's Wii Common Key to help circumvent the copyright protection on Wii games. Dolphin maintains that that including that key is legal.
According to my friend, it's
they're
legal.
Like, just for the record, we can do it. Don't arrest us.
My friend's like an injury. So he does like injure civil cases when people get in car crashes.
Nintendo doesn't allege that Yuzu includes any such keys, though. Yuzu takes a bring-your-own-BIOS approach, expecting users to either lift their own BIOSes and keys off a hacked Nintendo Switch, or more likely download a pirated one. So instead, Nintendo is arguing that Yuzu is knowingly facilitating piracy at a colossal scale, end quote. There's a lot more to the article that you can read in more detail about the case if you want more of the specifics, but I want to end with this. Nintendo suggests in his complaint that it may have actually been damaged by Yuzu too, alleging that The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom was illegally downloaded over a million times in May 2023, while Yuzu's Patreon membership doubled during that same period.
Holy shit.
They're fucked.
Holy
They're,
shit.
Like, reading through this article, I'm like, okay, we'll see about this. When I read the last part, a million times of illegal, like, the Tears of the Kingdom being downloaded and their Patreon numbers fucking doubling. Oh, man. Hide. If you're the Yuzu people, hide somewhere. Because Nintendo, they go after you. And they don't stop until they have you behind bars.
Yeah, but maybe like maybe it was a million times because a certain user couldn't figure out how to install it correctly. So he
had to keep
downloaded
going back.
It like 12 times.
And that user, of course, bought the game at the same time, right?
Of course.
It's not like they're
of course.
Emulating it without buying it. They bought the game and then they're like, oh, let me get this beautiful Steam Deck version for the resolution and the ray tracing and all this stuff.
Of course.
Yeah, and they wanted to play on their Steam Deck, you know, which a lot of people might like more than a Switch, but, ooh, Nintendo's coming for you.
Yeah, why does by the way, Metroid Prime Remastered slow down every time you shoot a charged shot, you know, allegedly? That's what I've
heard. On the Yuzu emulators, allegedly?
Just allegedly,
that's
you know.
That's messed up,
I've
man.
Seen a lot of people talking about it.
That's messed up.
I saw a lot of scuttlebutt on Reddit and on Twitter just being like, it's so over, man. Like,
yeah,
there will be other ways, there will be other things to circumvent. Although, like, I don't know, man. I do worry about, and immediately just like all the anxieties rush to my head of, I can't imagine being somebody else wanting to be the next Yuzu.
That's the thing, yeah. The Nintendo's seizing it. They want to seize and destroy all the hard drives to wipe out the emulator, and they want lots of money in damages. That's a statement. That's Nintendo going, oh, and if any of you other, I was going to like be like any of you other bitches, but I don't want to be too aggressive.
Yeah.
But like, if any of you other folks want to try what they're trying, get ready to pay up.
We shut down a kid's birthday one time because they had Pokemon decorations up. Yeah. Remember that one time?
Did they really? I thought it was a joke.
No, I think that was like a real story. Was,
yeah.
Like, there was like some
Reggie
sort
came
of
through, kicked down the door, waving the 4-4.
Take blowtorch in the place. Like,
take this Pokemon shit down. Fucking Animal Crossing soundtrack playing in the background. He smashes the radio.
This is, rest in peace, Yuzu. I don't expect a recovery. we've seen this happen to a lot of other smaller things. I remember it's so funny reading about the dolphin thing. I'm not sure if it was dolphin or yuzu that were on one of the main Steam Deck advertisements. Remember this?
Oh, I think it was dolphin.
Was it dolphin?
I think dolphin sounds like, yeah.
And they immediately,
because
like,
I remember everybody being like, why is dolphin on this?
Yeah. Yeah. That was adorable. Yeah, not great for people who are into emulating and preserving these games. Maybe just for the curious out there that want to maybe see you know, one of their favorite games run at max power with awesome reflections.
Yeah, I'm definitely like, I think from my opinion, right? Like, I'm on multiple sides of it. Of course, classic centrist blessing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of gray area here. A
lot of fine people on both sides.
Because I think, to some extent, yeah, like, I think preservation of video games is important. And then also, like, I think there's fascinating stuff you can do in terms of, what if Tears of the Kingdom looked fucking more fantastic than it does, right? Like, we're able to run this at, like, 4K and, like, had, like, the models look better and all this. I think there's, like, really, really cool stuff that you can do there. On the other hand, I think I think piracy is just bad, right? Especially if you're pirating from a business that's doing legitimate business and all this stuff, right? And like, you're taking away from their overall bottom line. I do think that's bad. I think the million downloads thing is damning, right? And I think that could be a combination of both. Yeah, people like re-downloading shit, and also I'm sure a lot of people are buying the game and also downloading it. But also, I'm sure I'm sure so many people aren't buying the game and downloading the pirated version. And I think Nintendo could easily make the argument that, yeah, this is taking away from our bottom line.
Nobody bought these. Yeah, these are a million that could have been ours.
Yeah, like, if we sold 24 million copies and you're taking away a million, you're taking away 1/24 of our revenue, which for Nintendo, it's a lot of revenue. That's like a lot of money right there. I'm also somebody that I think when you're pirating something that is modern, like, where it is like, oh, it's still on the Nintendo store, they just put it out yesterday, like, I think that's a bit more damning than something that came out 10 years ago something that came out, like, me emulating, I don't know, Snowboard Kids 2 for on Project 64. Very specific example, probably for a reason, allegedly.
I bought this game and rented it 6 times. I'm owed it.
Yeah, you know? But, like, nobody's losing money off of me pirating or emulating, I guess pirating still, Snowboard Kids 2 in 2024. And so I think that's way less damning than the Tears of the Kingdom stuff.
Yeah.
I get Nintendo going after that. I think that makes sense. Now, how hard Nintendo goes after this stuff sometimes can be a bit like, ooh, calm down, man. But again, they want to send a message. They want to be like, hey, you do this. You fuck with us. Yeah. We fuck with you back.
And that's, I mean, I remember, I think it was the YouTuber, correct me if I'm wrong, chat, was it Point Crow, who was putting up videos of the co-op Breath of the Wild mod, and like, and then all of a sudden all those YouTube videos were gone of him and his friends playing this, you know, it's like 4-player co-op Breath of the Wild, and it seemed really, really neat, and they just all sort of disappeared. Yeah, Point Crow, says chat. So that's another fascinating thing where it's not even the creation of it, it's not even the you know, YouTubers who were maybe making videos of it, they weren't involved with the creation of the software, but you were, you know, distributing it, and you're sort of showing it off.
Yeah.
That's, you know, a major no-go for Nintendo.
Story number 4, a Paranormal Activity horror game is due out 2026. This is Wesley Yenpool at IGN. The creator of viral horror video game The Mortuary Assistant is making a new, officially licensed Paranormal Activity video game. Paranormal Activity, due out in 2026, is produced by Paramount Game Studios with The Mortuary Assistant creator Brian Clark, aka Darkstone Digital, on development duty. Dread XP, the publisher Clark co-directs, will handle the release. The game is based on the hugely popular found footage horror film franchise, which kicked off in 2007 and has seen 7 films. This is cool, isn't it? I never thought about a Paranormal Activity video game, but I think it makes a lot of sense. Especially when you think about the kind of games that have gotten popular. I'm sure this is one that's going to be a hit for you, Andy.
Oh, gosh, no. Because I've seen screenshots of The Mortuary Assistant, and it just seems like an absolute nightmare to install, but mainly. Like, oh, just starting the installs, I know, thank you, right? This does seem like a great idea, right? It's kind of odd because I don't know how much weight that name carries anymore, Paranormal Activity, amongst, like, a much younger audience, but we do know that there's so many scary games out there that
When was the last Paranormal Activity? I feel like they haven't come out with one in a minute.
I might be wrong.
I'm going to look it up.
There's so many like horror franchises out there that will pop off with the youths. And suddenly, like, you know, Phasmophobia was insanely popular for a second there. We know how popular Five Nights at Freddy's is, where that movie just dominated the box office. To see a video game for Paranormal Activity come out, I think this is going to be a massive hit, especially from somebody who made The Mortuary Assistant, which I don't think had like the most amazing reviews, but it was one that everybody's favorite YouTubers were playing in that moment.
So,
and I want a quick correction from earlier. Apparently, Point Crow commissioned people to make the Nintendo Breath of the Wild mod. So that was also a big reason.
So I go through the Wikipedia, right? Paranormal, obviously, it started off... Well, this Wikipedia article says 2009. But the last one that came out, Paranormal Activity Next of Kin, came out in 2021, which I totally missed. Which is wild because...
That was a pandemic movie.
That must be why. Yeah, because like before that, it was 2015, which sounds right.
No, but like... I mean, you say that must be why. To me, I'm more surprised that it didn't really kind of skyrocket. Because like... When everybody was stuck at home, everybody was just relating over media, you know, like show is everybody like, watching?
I have the answer for you, Andy. You want to know why?
What's up?
Paramount Plus.
I didn't even know it existed in 2021.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And here's the thing. Paranormal Activity, I associate with the theater. So like, I've never watched Paranormal Activity because the marketing worked so well on me.
You see people in the theaters with the black and white footage like, dude,
I would watch those trailers and I'm like, I am never seeing that fucking movie. Because they would paint these things out to be the scariest shit of all time. And they had the audience shots and the audience was like fucking like pouring popcorn on themselves, like fucking crying.
She's like, I shit my pants.
Oh, fuck my pants. I just bought these at this mall. like fucking people freaking out at their
this mall.
I went to the changing room, but
I gotta go return these. How do you feel?
I saw the receipt in my pocket. But yeah, like that shit, like for me, I look at that. I'm like,
that
is a moment. Like that is like, I still associate Paranormal Activity with like
the Blair Witches of the world in terms of like marketing,
like peak level. Oh man. Like are we seeing the new Paranormal Activity? Like people are freaking out. Yeah. Almost like, I think The Conjuring sort of had the same thing when that came out. The first one,
just like Saw.
Yeah. I think a paranormal, if you time this, because my theory here is that they're going to time it with a movie, right? Like, you have, like, let's not even count Next of Kin, because what, Paramount Plus in 2021? Let's fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you're putting out a theater day and date release for the first time since 2015. That's like almost, that's over a decade at that point. The Paranormal Activity is returning, and we have a video game with it. If they're able to hit that same peak level of marketing and try to go for the viral thing of showing people in theaters fucking freaking out, doing the Harlem Shake, like going crazy, shitting their pants, pissing all that stuff, I think you might be able to really make this like a viral sort of thing.
I'm going to guess October 22nd. It's going to be right before it. Or maybe it's just like a 31st day and date. Dominate the holiday.
I mean, most other Paranormal Activities come out in October. So like Next of Kin was the 29th. Ghost Dimension was 23rd. Paranormal Activity, the marked ones, came out on January 3rd, 2014 for some reason. Paranormal Activity 4 was October 19th, 2012.
It's a post-Christmas horror right there.
Yeah, I guess.
Think about the fear of like, man, Christmas is so far away.
I mean, maybe it was a Christmas. Yeah, maybe Santa Claus is like coming down the chimneys and being like, I got a gun, and like fucking going crazy in there.
Satan Claus.
Yeah. I'm so curious about this though. Like, I think it's the reason why I think this is fascinating in 2024 is like, I just think we've come a long way in terms of streaming and content creation and like how that is now married with horror games and what you can do with that, right? Like the Outlast of the world and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can like find a lot of inspiration there. I also look at like, I've not played Mortuary Assistant. Bear, can you pull up maybe a clip of Mortuary Assistant? Because now I'm curious.
Let me know when it's up on the screen just so I can.
Yeah. Also, bring up Dane in Real Life for me. like play that after the Mortuary Assistant trailer. I think that plus where we've gone with FMV as well. I think you can do really interesting stuff there, like playing games like Immortality or even like, I don't know, there's like a lot of. I was going to use the Wales Interactive Games as an example, but those games aren't great either. But like that plus the Supermassive type stuff. I think there's a lot of different directions you can take with a found footage horror game in 2024.
It's got to be a multiplayer game, right?
Oh, you think so?
That's
the one thing I hope they don't do. But I guess that could make sense.
So here's Mortuary Assistant.
Oh, you're a dentist.
You're doing just like stuff on dead bodies, and then suddenly shit just pops out of, and it just... It just looks
not
like it just looks like the worst, man. Like, why would you put yourself through this? What's fun doing that? I'll play Mario. Oh, oh God, fucking Jesus.
Fuck.
This is just
that,
enough.
That man what was that backwards.
Little, yeah, what was that no, little white I'm man not, doing not, up there?
Man, I'm not playing the paranormal.
Nah.
Damn, this looks dark.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
Yeah,
dude.
No, I understand.
How'd that thing fit under that little cabinet?
Yo, God has abandoned you written on the wall is insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, if I was the Paranormal Activity people and I saw this, I'd be like, yeah, let's give him the game.
Man.
They're going to do right by you. Okay, you take this off.
We know it's going to get scary at the end. You know, the title pops up and there's one last thing they do at the end. Awful.
Andy, Paranormal Activity coming out in 2026 sounds like such big news.
Mm-hmm.
But if I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
You'd go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all small news items you need to know about.
It's time. Story number 5. Wii News. Whoa. A new set. This starts from IGN. Square Enix has caused havoc in Japan by accidentally mislabeling all the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth discs. As reported by Gamatsu, the once boasted two-disc physical edition of FF7 Rebirth has had a bit of a misstep, as a manufacturing error has seen every play disc printed with data disc and every data disc printed with play disc.
That stinks.
That's hilarious. That's like
showing up.
That's cataclysmic.
That's showing up to a game with the wrong uniforms. You know what I mean? Like that. Oof. Not great.
Yeah. No. That's rough. Somebody fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to them. Next up from VGC, Call of Duty Black Ops veteran David Vonderhaar has announced a new NetEase studio. Life is Strange Before the Storm and True Colors developer Deck 9 is laying off 20% of the studio. Very sad news. This one is from VGC. Multiverses may be returning soon, according to McDonald's Australia. The fast food chain is promoting upcoming Multiverses Happy Meals on this website. Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons remake is out today for PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. Star Wars Dark Forces remaster is out today on everything. And then Mortal Kombat 1 Peacemaker is out today. Dragon Ball FighterZ releases February 29th on PS5 and Xbox Series X with rollback netcode. And then our PS Plus essential games for March have been announced. You're getting F1 23 for PS4 and PS5, Sifu for Ooh. PS4 and PS5, Hello Neighbor 2 for PS4 and PS5, and Destiny 2 The Witch Queen for PS4 and PS5. And that's it for Wii News. Oh, I like what you did with this set. This is smart.
It's just a bunch of game headlines.
Yeah.
All real.
I like this. Good stuff.
I'm Multiverses. What's up with that?
I don't fucking know, man. McDonald's Australia knows more than I do. Like, apparently they're getting Happy Meals toys. I don't know. I hope, because like what happened was, apparently that original release was just early access.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't the real release. Which I wouldn't have been able to tell you. I thought it was for sure the final release. So they unreleased it because, hey, you know, it was only supposed to be out for 8 months or 9 months or whatever it was. Unreleased it. They've been working on it since. I mean...
You think they're prepping for Evo?
No, because they already announced all the Evo games. Mm. Yeah, that's already happened. So I think they might be too late. I mean, they might do like a special surprise sponsored tournament. That's actually very likely because I think they did that last time. But yeah, I mean, I think it's imminent. It's probably going to come out like a surprise drop in the next couple of months. They're going to have probably new characters. I don't know what basketball player they can add now, aside from LeBron James. Maybe they get Steph Curry in there this time.
That seems pretty possible.
I guess Steph isn't owned by WB. That's not how that works.
Yeah, but him is, you know, it's like a cousin sort of thing. It's like, my friend
will
get you.
Yeah, just throw Steph in there, tag team.
Brother Tale of Two Sons remake. I'm going to play that. I'm going to give it like a 12 out of 10 just to help out my fantasy.
Oh, nice.
Thing.
Oh, you got that?
Forgot we're doing
our scores
that.
Don't go on OpenCritic, though.
Not yet.
I'll figure it out.
He's talking about Andy's, like, his individual score from twitch.tv/AndyCortez.
I'm going to say it's Jeff Grubb's score. I'm going to say it's some reviewer out there.
Mr. Anderson, thank you. Michael Jordan, because he was in Space Jam.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
That'd be sick.
What if they put, like, LeBron James' kid in the movie? The one who's really shitty at basketball.
A character that's never going to get picked. I'm going to be like, who the fuck is that
He's kid? Like, I'm a programmer.
That kid is going to be, like, bottom tier list. Yeah. Like, no offense to LeBron James. It wasn't his real kid anyway.
It's always so wild. Oh, look at that. Oh, 82.
Oh, it's already been reviewed.
That's not great.
82 is pretty good.
Man, it's so wild every once in a while. I look at LeBron James in that one movie where he was with Bill Hader.
Comedians, funny people.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's one of them movies. And he was like so good in that movie, Trainwreck. Was it Trainwreck? Yeah.
What movie am I thinking of?
You're thinking of the A Judd Apatow movie.
Yeah, with Adam Sandler and
Was it called Funny People?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. I think LeBron
James. It's so wild seeing LeBron James in that clip with Bill Hader. And it may be because they're improvising, and that's why he seems so natural and good. I was like, God damn, this is like really good from LeBron James. What a funny little like comedic acting moment for him. And then in Space Jam, I was like, holy shit, this is atrocious at times, man.
No, like they. To be fair, it's hard to like act around Looney Tunes. Like he's in a green screen by himself. Like, what's he supposed to do?
Bless it from experience, you know.
Yeah. Like, listen, I've acted opposite of Bugs Bunny before. That shit ain't easy.
I had to be in front of a green screen talking about debuting the 4v4 Avatar game. Is what you're
saying? That is true. Yeah, no, that is the thing. Yeah, I'm in there, and they're like, "Be more excited!" And I'm like. I don't know. Avatar, it's coming. 4v4. I don't know what these things are, but they're blue. Get hyped. Get hyped for this.
That game never came out, did
it? Sad about the True Colors thing or the Deck Nine thing. Deck Nine is a studio that I really dig. On top of this, there was like another thing that was related to it that Greg had dropped into the KFGD Slack. Let me see if I can find it. Basically, somebody talking about how the leads of the studio did actually take pay cuts. Yeah, this comes from Stephen Frost on Twitter.
Oh, I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, they said Deck Nine had a layoff today. Leadership took pay cuts to keep the number down as much as possible. This is the strongest team Deck Nine has ever been, and it absolutely sucks that the industry is in the state that it is presently. And yeah, like, obviously, I think we talked about this before. I forget if I talked about this on content or if this is like a tweet or something that I made, but like, there was an article that went up talking about Nintendo's decision back in the day to have, I think it was Iwata's decision, actually. It was Iwata that took like a 50% pay cut. To then like keep people on.
I think
on.
Miyamoto took like a 30 something or 40 something.
Yeah.
Like
and whenever these things come around, I a lot of people are like, well, why don't these people take pay cuts? Like, why don't we do this? And like, there was a good article that went up that was kind of talking about like the systemic, hey, a lot of this is more than just like having money to like be able to like take that money and then pay people with it, right? Like a lot of it is kind of just like, hey, we don't have these roles anymore because we're canceling these games. Like there's nothing for these people to actually do. And like, kind of the bullet point of reasons, and I think Reggie Fils-Aimé had quote tweeted and was like, hey, it's like, this is actually a good point. Like, as somebody who obviously is like a leadership at Nintendo, this is a thing that often gets overlooked, and like, and there was actually practicality to why and how Nintendo did it, right? Like, Nintendo, Iwata and Miyamoto and stuff did it because it was the thing of like, we need to see through this storm. And like, if we see through the storm with the people that we have, like, we need that, not generational, but I guess just like that experience of those people. Like, these are people that have been at Nintendo for a while, and we need this going into like the next generation to actually make that generation stronger. So if we lose these people, we're gonna fuck up our future as Nintendo. So we need to make these pay cuts. Very fascinating like idea and very fascinating read. But yeah, like to this point of Deck Nine though, it's really cool to see leadership take pay cuts to at least keep what they can take. Like I get that cutting my pay down isn't going to allow us to keep everybody on staff. But them going,
it'll help mitigate.
Yeah,
some.
Like mitigate stuff, some, and at least taking like some of the sword, you know, like at least like having some of the. All right, as leadership, I need to take some accountability here and do something to show that I am here, like I am somebody that is involved in the decisions that take place here, right? And so being able to take that pay cut and go about this, I think, is a better way to than to go. I'm gonna keep all the money. I'm gonna lay off all the people, and I'm gonna point the finger at them and go, "Why didn't you do better?"
Yeah. I just keep seeing, it just gets so exhausting to keep seeing every executive sort of parrot the line of the industry is not growing. It's like,
it is.
You're okay, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But like, why is the, like, it's just like, it's just so exhausting and tiresome. It's just, the goal is just to get bigger and bigger.
Infinite
and bigger.
Growth, Andy.
And like, duh, right? That's what they're supposed to do. These are execs. They want the shareholders happy. But it's just so, it's such a bummer to see so many talented people essentially being made redundant and losing their jobs because of big swings and misses from, or not reading, you know, the landscape correctly and going, let's do NFTs or let's do this game for a, let's hop into this genre that's already on its decline. You know what I mean? Like, oh man, it's just, it's such a bummer and depressing. And I just feel for all of these devs. And then I think about, can you imagine like, because I know I felt this when I was trying to get into the industry. You'd always compare your work to other people's work.
Yeah.
and I would look at ArtStation, and I would look at DeviantArt back when that was a lot more popular with like 3D artists, and be like, dude, man, this dude is insane. Look how talented this person is. He's only 3 years older than me. God damn, I have a lot of catching up to do. And you just kind of always compare yourself. And I can't imagine what it's like now to be somebody trying to get into the industry, or hopefully get into the industry once you graduate, and you see 30 people say that they've been laid off, and you look at their portfolios, you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
This dude is a god. This woman is insane at 3D sculpting, and she got laid off? What hope do I have? You know, like, holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, on that note, right? Like,
what a bar. Play the Wii music one more time. Just
I believe.
Make me happier.
Was it?
Thank you, Baron. Thank you.
Hold on, I'm looking it up because I don't want to fuck up the name. I think it was Blake from Game Informer who got laid off yesterday. God, I need to double check this. I can't find it. But yeah, like, there was somebody from Game Informer that got laid off yesterday who I've like met before and hung out with before, and like I've seen his work before. And like, as a dude that does incredible work, which is why I really want to shout out his name specifically. Actually, no, he's in my replies, so I'm gonna find him.
I know what you're talking about though. Yeah, because I saw Alex Van Aken and several other people talking about the talented work that.
It's hard for me to remember his name because he doesn't put his Twitter does have his name, but his Twitter is Metallica is rad. And
it's
he's
not a Blake, it's an ocean, one of those sort of things.
Yeah. But like, and like his fucking name, like username is, or not username, his like Twitter name is just a coffin, like a coffin emoji. But yeah, like he does, somebody said Blake Hester. That's what it was. I thought it was Blake Hester, but I didn't want to say it and like not have it be Blake Hester.
Of course, yeah.
But yeah, he's done incredible work. I've seen the work that he's done with Alex Van Aken, and like they've done really, like both of them together, they make a lot of magic on Game Informer, and he got laid off yesterday. And that's the person I look at, and I'm like, oh man. Like, if you're laying off him, like, what the fuck are we doing here as an industry? Like, there are talented people here that are losing their jobs. On top of that, on the same note, I want to shout out Rob Zachney over at Remap. He had an article go up this morning that was, like, a really fun slash depressing read, I guess is the way I'd put it, right? Like, he titled the article... I'm opening up right now.
Pivot to Decimation.
Thank you. Pivot to Decimation. And it's him kind of like playing the role of like an army general and like kind of being like, hey, like, you know, soldiers of the Ninth Legion, today is a difficult day. As many of you know, strategic conditions have changed along the Transalpine frontier. Record increases in supply costs, a challenging growth environment in the Black Forest, and disappointing results from many of our parent republics' ventures in Asia Minor have forced us to make some hard choices. And then he goes on to kind of like give this layoff letter from the perspective of somebody who's like a army general
yeah, from like Roman times,
yeah, sure. And like he nails it. Like you read through it and you're like, fuck dude, like this is it's almost like reading like just a creative writing piece that is, I think, very well done and very again fun slash depressing to read. But that's one I wanted to give a shout out.
Rob
Zachney as well,
one of the best in the industry.
Yeah, he's great, he's awesome. Before we get out of here, let's move on to Super Chats. Of course, you can write in with your YouTube Super Chats and we'll shout them out and read them on the show. Carlos Arias gives us a Super Chat and says, just here to compliment Andy's hair.
Hey, thank you.
DJ Kento says, hear me out. Hire Kojima to shoot a movie for the Sphere. Don't tell me you wouldn't buy a ticket. It's new. It's experimental. It's grandiose.
I'd be scared to get... I don't have issues with heights or getting like vertigo, but I've heard a lot of people that go to the Sphere get vertigo because you just kind of lose all sense of like spatial awareness because it's just such like you're so high up and you're looking so far down and like it just really kind of like freaks out the brain. The brain's like, I'm not supposed to be looking at this.
Yeah,
we came from cavemen, you know, like my DNA is not, you know, programmed for this.
That's how I feel doing this whole episode with my new glasses, because I'm pretty sure these are the wrong prescription. I'm pretty sure.
Really?
I'm like, I can see, like, everything's clear, but also things are kind of warpy. Like, there's, like, it's, and maybe it's the different shape of my glasses. I don't know. Like, usually I don't get this shape, but I got
like a fisheye lens sort of thing?
A little bit, yeah.
Warpy, like.
Like, I don't know. Like,
are you seeing, like, a different reality?
A little bit. Like, I think I'm seeing into a different universe. There's a Greg Miller right there. But like when I take off my glasses,
but are you like when you put the glasses on, are you seeing things that you didn't before?
I mean, yeah, I'm seeing Greg Miller standing in the corner, but I take him off and he's not there.
you put the glasses on and suddenly you see the world, the underworld of Yharnam.
It's like when I put them on, I'm in sight. you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see, look at that. Look at that Bloodborne reference, everybody. It's Bloodborne references.
We're never getting that shit, huh?
Hey, That Comics writes in and says, leave it to the internet to spoil games. The first puzzle before it even comes out. Leave it to the internet to spoil the game's first puzzle before it even comes out. I don't know what we're talking about.
You mentioned
Maybe Final
the Last
Fantasy
of Us?
VII Rebirth, you know, like, you know, you gotta push
are we talking about the generators? No way we're talking about the generators in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, or the vacuum, whatever they're called.
Yeah. Mako suckers.
Tell me no.
Maybe, we played the trailer for the horror game, but that's a game that's
the mortuary. There's no way I love the idea of somebody like, yo, I was just about to play the mortuary. Why'd you show the trailer?
I had that shit booted up, man.
Fuck. DJ Kendo says, can we set a goal for the next KF day where Blessing watches and reacts to the Avatar movies live? I mean, do you really want to watch me just be asleep for 4 hours? I don't think you want that.
Bro.
Fucking blue people on the screen wearing clothes from Macy's. I was like, come on, man. Put the t-shirt away. Where's the alien
blow
clothes?
Your mind.
Put on a fucking gauntlet or whatever aliens wear. And then Krabby Patty says, loving the Mario Sunshine vids, Andy. And GG's bless.
Thank you.
GG's, Krabby Patty. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite in. Let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. I got it, chat. So the puzzle he's talking about is the mislabeled discs. For Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That's the first puzzle you gotta solve.
Oh.
Installing the game and playing the game is the first puzzle you gotta solve. That's funny.
That's a good one.
Banner Ascend says Yuzu was the emulator. Yuzu the emulator was shown in the Steam Deck official video.
Mm.
So I was wrong. I could have sworn it was Dolphin.
Me too,
Dolphin.
Yeah.
New Age says Andy's claim that Nintendo sued a kid for throwing a Nintendo themed birthday party is unfortunately not true.
Oh shit.
It comes from the satirical site, the Sasquatch Times, which posts fake articles but presents them as real looking.
I got butt cracked.
Damn, you got the onioned.
I got butt cracked. There's a sports website called Butt Crack.
Mm.
And oftentimes my favorite sports show, the Dan Le Batard Show, will incorrectly cite them. And they'll be like, that was a fake story, actually. Like, that person. Mm. And they'll be like, ah, we got butt cracked.
That's a fucking game showdown game right there. Like, real article or
Onion headliner.
Hard drive. Yeah,
hard drive article. Yeah. Fuck.
That's really good, Bless.
Fuck.
That might be a good, we might not need to make a new game out of it, but that could fit into You're Wrong somehow. Yeah.
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 God, oh, now I gotta fucking
We're making about that. Content here,
Shit.
Bless.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out what to do with You're Wrong, and I think that I'm going to go back into the kitchen and cook, Barrett. I'm about to fucking cook on this thing.
Let this man cook.
And then we got one more from a concerned viewer who says, when the trailer for the mortuary assistant started, Blessing said, oh, a dentist. This is not correct. in the mortuary assistant, you play as a mortuary's assistant, not a dentist. Concerned viewer,
dental's assistant.
Have you heard of a fucking joke? fucking push up your glasses, go outside, touch some grass if you own grass. If you don't own grass, I don't know, man. Smell some fresh air. If you live somewhere, if you live next to a fucking factory that's polluting your air, then buy a candle and light it. I mean, I enjoyed it.
The man was playing around with teeth in the video game. Like, who's to say that they're not also a
dentist? That was the joke.
Dead people's cavity.
Because he was messing around with the teeth, and I was like, oh, dentist. Listen, this is my kind of humor. I know it's not for everybody.
It's like when I said that icebergs only exist in the winter, and somebody was like, Andy, icebergs exist all year round.
I thought you were serious about that, though.
No, I was not.
I was like, Andy really thinks that.
No, man. I tried to drive that joke home, and somebody said, I was like, oh, man, just like, you know.
And you play it to, you're too good at delivering it so dry.
Some say I'm the Nathan Fielder of my generation.
Yep.
I think he's like two years older than me.
The thing about my dentist joke, too, is that like a lot of people compare my humor to Rick and Morty. It's hard to understand. Yeah, I have to have a certain intellect. Yeah. Yeah, gotta graduate with a few.
I need you to get the fuck off the set.
Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all the shows ad-free. Watch, record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you Game Daily.